I'm trying to work three different pieces of equipment here. I do have it. The recorder is now on. So. Now, in last week's exciting episode, you may remember that Father Chris said he did not ever want to hear the word unprecedented again. And so I'm not going to use that. But there are a lot of strange things going on in this shelter at home time. And I mean, just yesterday, I went down the sidewalk to the mailbox to get the mail, and across the street, our neighbor, the lady was sitting out there. She was talking to her cat, and it was obvious from watching her, she thought the cat was understanding what she was saying. And so I just shook my head and turned around and came back in the house, and I told my dogs, and I thought they were never going to stop laughing. I'm sorry. But now that I got that out of my system, let us pray. Lord God, in these unprecedented times, we thank you for your abiding presence with us, for your love, for your care and nurture of us. And Lord, we ask that in this time together, you would speak to us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I hope you all know I made that story up. It's not true. but if you want it to be true, it is. I know we've talked about this in sermons many, many, many times. The differences between the Gospel of John and the Synoptic Gospels, and this is not going to be a class on that. The Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are different than John. And one of the striking differences is the way that Jesus teaches his followers. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus teaches with parables, and we all know parables, and we all have our favorites. But in John, Jesus teaches with discourses that usually come after one of the signs or healings or wonders. There are no parables in the Gospel of John. In fact, the closest that John comes to a parable is our Gospel text today, where Jesus is talking about the sheep, the shepherd, the sheep pen. But it's not a parable because Jesus is not talking about some unknown shepherd. He's talking about himself. And it's an allegory. It's an allegory, and people who listen to it are supposed to understand that Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep, and the thief and robbers who come over the wall are the folk that Jesus is addressing. He's talking to the Pharisees. Of course, they didn't get it, and that's okay. It's for us. And it says in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, and they didn't understand. It's a figure of speech. And that I want us to just look at this teaching this morning, because I think it's very, very similar to our own situation. The sheep are in a sheepfold or a sheep pen, and they are under strict shelter-at-home orders by the shepherd. And just like us, they're behind those walls for their own protection. And a first century shepherd in Palestine would place the sheep in a pen, usually in the evening. It was a walled enclosure with only one entrance, and the shepherd would sit in that entrance, and at night he would sleep in that entrance, prevented the sheep from wandering out and predators from wandering in. And Jesus begins talking about this sheepfold or sheep pen by talking about those who want to climb over the wall. There are people who want to climb over the wall. There are thieves who would love to rob the shepherd and his sheep. And as Jesus goes on, it's obvious that in this analogy that the thief is Satan and those who would do his bidding. Now, Satan is limited in what he can do to the sheep, but what he can do is horrific. I mean, he can derail, he can destroy the joy of your walk with the shepherd, and with counterfeit messages, he can lead you away from the shepherd. He can lead you into despair, anger, hatred, and fear. And we know from this same chapter that he cannot steal you from God's flock. Because Jesus makes it clear that no one can pluck us out of his hand or out of the hand of his Father. The thief cannot steal your salvation, but he can keep you from living the abundant life that's available to you and offered to you by the Good Shepherd Jesus. Now, John 10:10, that's easy to remember. John 10:10, it sounds kind of musical, and it's one of my absolute favorite verses in all of Scripture. It contains a warning and it contains an awesome promise. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, as it says in the NIV. Have it to the full is kind of an awkward rendering of the word. We don't talk like that. I mean, what else do you have to the full? It's just not something we use. I don't know how they thought that cleared it up when they did their translation. It's generally translated in, I memorized it in the RSV, but in the ESV it's the same, that they might have life and have it abundantly. And it's not just my favorite verse. This is the favorite verse of prosperity preachers. And I know I hammer them a lot, but it's only because I don't like them. Yeah, I would not anoint their head with oil. I would anoint their heads with polo mallets. But the prosperity preachers would say, if you don't have abundance in your life, then you're selling God short. God wants you to have a life that's just full of abundance of everything. Where I differ from them is their definition of abundance and what the abundant life is. The Greek word parason that is translated here, it means that it's exceptional. It means that it's superabundant, and it's exceptional in the sense that it's more than what would be expected. It's a life of exceptional purpose. It's a life of exceptional meaning. What would that life look like? It would look like the life of Jesus. Jesus' life was not filled with an abundance of things. Jesus' life was filled with an abundance of love, love overflowing into the lives of other people. His life was exceptional in that he always gave more than it was expected. His life is defined by self-denial. It's defined by self-sacrifice. Ultimately, it's defined by the cross. This is the life that Jesus freely gives and calls us to. It's the only life that offers us true joy and love to the full. If we want to use to the full. Now, no doubt during this pandemic, many of you have watched the news and read the paper. So you are aware that there are a great many people who are angry about a great many things. It seems to be what drives that 24-hour news cycle right now. Some people are angry because others are not observing social distancing rules like they should be. You'll have others who are angry that their states are moving too rapidly to reopen so that they can get their economies going again. And some who are angry because it's moving too slow. That their governors are too strict, too stringent. And you have people who are upset and almost panic-stricken. The government's too slow, it's too fast. People aren't worried enough that about lives are at risk. Some are worried too much about the economy. Some aren't worried enough about the economy. And I'm sure that right now, I could say some things that would anger a bunch of you and make others happy. And then I could say something else that would anger the other side and make the other group happy. Where people come down on these issues depends a great deal on who they're listening to. Both sides. All sides. It depends on who you listen to and who you trust. And I think we have to honestly ask ourselves, who are we listening to? Who do we trust? Because I promise you that the thief who comes over the wall wants to take everything you hear and twist it, no matter which side you're on. He wants to twist it. Everything that you hear, everything that you see, he wants to work people into a frenzy. He wants us to be consumed by worry and anger and fear. So let's go back to the sheepfold for a moment and take stock of sheep. Sheep are not afraid because the shepherd is with them. They trust that shepherd more than they trust the walls that they're sheltering behind. Their ears are finely tuned to the voice of the shepherd. It's the most familiar voice that they know. And it is a voice they trust implicitly. They trust that this shepherd will take them out to pasture, that he will take them to the still water so they can drink. He will give them everything that they need. He will protect them. And they are happy and they are content to listen to his voice only and to follow him. You and I need to fine-tune our ears to the voice of our shepherd. If you're hearing words of anger, words of fear, words of resentment, words of hatred, it is not the voice of the shepherd. And as we shelter behind our walls and we listen to the shepherd, I want you to listen to this promise from Isaiah 43. It gives me great comfort in this time. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Listen to the shepherd. Listen to the shepherd and follow his voice. That is the key to the promise of abundant life. Amen.